Just set the recording going. Just going to find that for you.
Then you won't have to look at me.
We'll still have you on the screen, hopefully, Jamie. So. Here we go. I think we're ready.
Great. Well done. Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to be chatting to you all again. Thank you. Yes, let's go to that first slide, that next slide. Thank you, Trevor. Yes, I wanted to look at one of the network values, which I have always particularly valued, which is this one, holding deep convictions, but being unfazed by questions. And when you think about that one, I wonder how you personally respond to that challenge. Trevor, next slide, please. Are you an elephant or are you an antelope? Because there are all sorts of challenges at the moment to our faith. There are challenges to our beliefs. There are all sorts of trials that we go through in life. Circumstances seem to be changing all around us. We are spending more and more time, go back, thank you, spending more and more time engaging with people with very, very different views and very, very different faiths to our own. And this can feel disorientating and it can lead to doubt. But are we an elephant or are we an antelope as we engage with new and difficult questions? Okay, let's go to the next slide. Now I want to try and make an analogy between, if you like, between kind of faith and warfare. Now I don't want to overdo the analogy, but picture tells a thousand words, so I've chosen some pictures. I'm trying to draw up, as I say, some comparisons between our Christian faith and how traditionally we have fought battles. And if we go back to the olden days, this is kind of a picture of how we used to fight battles. It was all about strength. It was all about power. Basically, we just hurled ourselves at each other. I guess you would say this is the age of crusades, mass conversions, the age of power and strength. Okay, next slide. But we then moved on, and then came the era of what I call the era of tactics, all about organizing pieces on a chessboard. And what really counted in this age, probably you'd think sort of 18th, 19th century, it was really cleverness that counted in faith terms. And particularly for those of us in the West, it was the age of carefully building all the kind of institutions of liberal democracy, whether that was a system of courts or the executive government or parliamentary democracy, all being cleverly built around Christian principles. Okay, the next slide. But then we hit World War I, and I'm using that as an analogy for attrition. We came to an age where basically we were slugging it out. Who had the energy to keep going the longest? On the one side, we had huge rise in skepticism and a scientific way of looking at things. And on the other, we had those who were wanting to hold on to their faith in the face of this onslaught of skepticism and science, the age of attrition. Okay, next slide. But then times moved on, and by the time we get to the Second World War, it's really logistics that win the day. And this is a picture of the Normandy landings in June 1944, and what really won the Second World War was the superior logistical capability of America. Who could get the most men and the most machines in the right place at the right time, and not just keep them there, but keep them well supplied? And I guess you could call that, in Christian terms, this was the age of the beginning of culture war. Who could get the most Christians into the right places so that they could influence society most, and how could we support them and keep them going? Okay, next slide. But then warfare moved on. This is a picture, as you'll probably guess, from Iraq. Who is the enemy? Where are they? This was an era beyond even guerrilla warfare. You really can't tell what's going on. As I say, is the enemy in front of you, behind you? Is it a civilian? Is that a military person? Difficult to know. And the key change really became, it's not about winning territory, but it's about winning hearts and minds. And I was reading something the other day, and a colonel who fought in the Iraq War said that he realized that what was really important was not winning the war, but winning the peace. Not winning the war, but winning the peace. And I've called that VUCA, V-U-C-A, which I will explain in the next slide. Thank you, Trevor. Now, many people think that we are now in an age of VUCA. Things are volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. This is actually an American Army term, but it's recognizing that we are now in a different environment. Things have become volatile, they're fast, and change is unpredictable. They're uncertain. Things are not carrying on as they were. The past is no longer a good guide to the future. In fact, it's probably a poor guide to the future. Things have become much more complex. We have multiple interconnecting factors. Things reverberate quickly because we're also connected to each other, and there are multiple things going on at once. And things have also become ambiguous. It's very difficult to know the truth. So we're in a different environment. And because we're in a different environment, that calls for a different kind of response. And I think in many ways, the things that we value in network are really helpful in this environment, because we have moved past a command and control mentality, which is kind of how battles used to get fought in the past. And we've moved into an era of local initiatives, where people are able to respond to what's going on around them. Okay, the next slide. So we are in an era of change, and I'm sure you can all give a list of things like globalization, technology, social media, ISIS, China, Trump, the pandemic, polarization, collapsing liberalism, retreat of Western Christianity, climate change, biodiversity loss. The list is kind of endless. And this is why things are becoming VUCA. They are becoming volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. And I guess the question for us is, are we going to see this as just a threat? Or are we going to see it as an opportunity? And how are we going to be? How are we going to respond to this kind of changing, fast-changing environment? Okay, next slide. Always good to borrow quotes from outside normal Christian circles, and this is one. This is Charles Darwin. Famously thought of as being a promoter of survival of the fittest, but actually he's promoting a different idea here. It's not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent. It is the one that is most adaptable to change. Next slide, please. So how as Christians can we survive, and not just survive, but thrive in this environment? Well, here's some suggestions. If things are volatile, then we have to recognize that we need to adapt and we need to change. If things are uncertain, we don't know what the facts are. Increasingly, we have to make our decisions based not just on information, but based on our underlying values. And as things become more complex, we have to be humble enough to learn, to think outside the box, to recognize and appreciate all these different things that are going on at once. And as things become ambiguous, well, they may become ambiguous, but our assurance in God needs to go deeper. Next slide. Thank you. Now, I think I might have mentioned this guy to you before. His name is Metropolitan Anthony, and he was a bishop in the Orthodox Church. And I met him in about 1978, 79. And I would say he is the most centered person I have ever met. There was an extraordinary calmness to him, and yet he was very responsive to the environment in which I met him. And he had a very unusual life. He was born in Switzerland. He had a Russian father. I think his father was part of the diplomatic corps of Russia. His early life, he grew up in Persia and then in France. In the Second World War, he was a doctor in the French army. And when the French army collapsed, he then fought in the French resistance. And after that, he then worked in concentration camps. And part of the way through that experience, he joined the Orthodox Church, and he became famous for writing many fantastic books on prayer. And I often ask myself the question, why was this man's faith so deep? Why was he so centered, so calm, and yet so responsive? And the conclusion I've reached is because he lived a very full life in very, very turbulent times. And to put that in a nutshell, he knew that his faith was stronger than all that life could throw at him. Because most things that can be thrown at you had been thrown at him, and his faith had survived, and indeed it had thrived. Next slide, please. So VUCA, an opportunity for growth into maturity. And here's a wonderful verse from James, which is basically saying that VUCA needs to be seen as an opportunity for joy, because we know that as things are volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous, this is a chance for our faith to grow, for us to grow in maturity. Okay, next slide. So what do we do in this kind of environment? Do we kind of wait for it to overwhelm us? Do we just sort of sit and hope that we'll survive? Or do we go into a bit of training? And as all athletes know, you need to train to be ready. And I think one of the keys to training is to see these three things as connected to each other, but also to step out of the familiar, to change our routines, to listen to difference, to go to different places, to take some risks. I think we probably all know that training involves a little bit of discomfort. And these three things are really, really connected. We prepare spiritually by preparing physically. We prepare mentally by preparing spiritually. And we prepare physically by preparing mentally. We are holistic beings. For us, these things are all connected. So next slide, please. So this is my last slide and my last question, really. So how are we going to respond to an environment that is volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous? Are we going to be as solid and unmovable as an elephant? Or are we going to be as nimble-footed as an antelope? Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Fabulous. Great thoughts, as always. Really, really helpful. So glad we had some good news at the end there with the verse coming in to save us, and some very practical things for us to take away.